Vicky or Tony, if you could start the recording, that'd be great. Okay, thank you. My name is Zach Edan. I'm the Chair of the Finance and Government. I have my colleagues, Kathy Hogarty, Councilmember Kathy Hogarty, and then Councilmember Dallas Trinas Johnson with me. We have three items tonight, actually four items. And I've talked to Vicky and Tracy a bit earlier. And so we'll, if that's okay with you guys, we'll start with the park items and then we can go to the finance, the two discussion items. Is that all right with you, Kathy? I see Cindy is not here. Okay. All right, so Tracy, go ahead and let's go to item number one, and then we can go through the second item, the walking item after that. Take it away, please.
Great. Good evening. Tracy Galloway, Acting Parks and Recreation Director. The first item we wanted to bring to you tonight is just an exciting opportunity. We were presented with a grant funding opportunity through a collaboration with the Washington Recreation Parks Association, the Association of Washington Cities, and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. And the purpose of this grant opportunity was to provide enhancement opportunities and summer experiences for youth. So it was a very quick turnaround. We were notified of the grant opportunity in June, and we knew it was going to be a short timeline. We had about 2 weeks, actually less than 2 weeks once they put the grant out. And we reached out to the Somali Health Board because we had been working with them on some other ideas about soccer. We wanted to help support them, and so we thought this was a great way we could do that. So we included them in the grant. But what we applied for was program support to help support Camp Chuck Willie, our Park and Play program. We're working with the Rave Foundation to do a soccer camp for teens. We're bringing back some See You in the Park events. And then we wanted to help support the Somali Health Board with their soccer leadership program, soccer and leadership program. So we made our application and we got funded to the amount we asked for. So it was $49,100. And we were pleasantly surprised because when we put the grant in, they really talked about it being a summer for summer program. So when we got the grant paperwork, it really is through the mid-November. So that helps us extend that. And we got to present kind of a la carte all these different programs. We didn't have to put specific dollars to any one thing. So that was kind of nice and gives us some flexibility in our programming and use. So tonight we're here just to run this by you and hope that we can move this on to the regular meeting on August 2nd so the mayor can sign it.
Thank you, Tracy and the staff who worked on this. Council members, comments, questions, Kathy, you first, and then Cynthia.
I'm going back to there was the SEEK application and scope of work. I think does a pretty good job of saying what you're going to use the money for. A light art show, I was like, is that light art or light art? So I wasn't sure about that.
It is art using light.
Okay.
So not a light on art show, but I get what you're saying.
Well, I think when they take these applications, they run all the paragraphs together. I'm sure they do. The application and scope of work described it really well, and I'm in support.
I'm in support as well. I guess my only question would be, because these programs are already running, does this just shift the funding that you did have for these current programs and allow you to use the funding that we received through the grant in other areas? Or how does that work? Because it seems like the programs are already up and running. So how would this receipt of receiving of grant funds affect the rest of the programming at parks?
Well, they are enhancements to programs. So they're not really supposed to be used as replacement funds. It's really to enhance those programs. So when we put together Camp Tech Willie, for example, we put it together on a shoestring budget. And so this allows us to bring in, we can't go on field trips, but we can bring other people into camp to help entertain and fund different activities and purchase a little more supplies. Same goes for park and play. It just helps us to buy more things that we can distribute out to the community through that program. And for the teen soccer camp, it really is free. You know, we don't have to charge a fee. It can help us pay for the fees for the field use if the school district charges us. So it just helps us to do that. And same with seeing the park. We had a small amount of money, but this kind of helps us to kind of expand what we were thinking, or we're actually considering potentially running our annual Halloween event, because that was a budget cut that we weren't able to do. And since this funding extends in the fall, that's an opportunity we can consider. We haven't, you know, made any decisions yet. So we are, you know, still looking for ways. And as we spend on the money, we may reach out to the community to say, okay, we have some money left. What do you want to see? So, and that's the same with working with the Somali Health Board. We started off, you know, we had a meeting with them about doing this grant, and then we couldn't quite connect on the specifics. So we just applied for some extra funding for them. And we're actually working with Tony Cullerton on figuring out how do we be a pass-through with this grant funds. How do we make sure that we give them the funds that they need to support their program and get the adequate reporting that we'll need to do for the grant. And this is going to be a two-year grant. They're actually going to be promoting 2022 later this fall, so we'll have a lot longer of planning time and to be able to really expand. We could apply in three categories. I think it was 50, 100, and 250. So they're pretty large buckets that we applied into. And yeah.
Thank you. I'm in support of moving this forward.
I'm also in support of moving this forward. So thank you. Looking forward to the implementation.
Great.
So let's go into the walking item, which is restoring before and after school programming and enrichment.
Yeah. So thank you. I know I got this to you late. We realized at the end of last week that this is very time sensitive. We need to be able to hire staff, and that's really the biggest expense for us in regards to before and after school program delivery. And what I tried to describe in the memo was we want to offer the traditional after school program, but we also have learned some things over the pandemic. We learned that not everybody needs a 5-day program, and so we wanted to offer some other alternatives through this a la carte recreation enrichment programs, where it was different days of the week. Maybe the Museum of Flight's coming on one day a week. Maybe Skyhawk Sports offers something another day. Maybe Arts Corps, looking for other community partners. So we wanted to make sure that we had funding not only to support a traditional program, but to support working with partners or hiring instructors or teaching artists to come in and do some of those types of interventions for kids that maybe not need 5 days a week, but want 1 or 2 days of fun activities after school. So we, our request, we know that this request will need to be a budget amendment. So we're asking for, you know, prior consideration. Vicki might want to jump in here too. We were going to bring this to CSS next week as well. We just need some head nods so we can move forward with some of the hiring that we're going to need to do. Vicki, do you have any?
I just want to make sure that as we move forward with the discussion on the use of ARPA funds, this will be included as one of those options. And just if I could just spend just a couple minutes on ARPA funds, we do plan to come back to this committee at the next meeting with a plan for ARPA funds. We were waiting for final guidance from the federal government on what we could use those funds for. And we're very close to getting that final recommendation. And one of the things that we've learned is that there has to be a nexus to COVID, the pandemic, and the effects of the pandemic. So we can't use it on just anything, but we can use it definitely to restore programs that were reduced or eliminated because of the pandemic. And the other thing, if I can give you a quick update on, is we initially thought we were going to receive about $4.3 million from ARPA funds. We're actually receiving 5.7. So we had some really good news on that front. Wanted to share that.
Well, that's great news for Monday, that we're getting more than what we thought. Thank you. Any questions, comments, Kathy and Cynthia?
Yeah, so it's just going to come before the full council. How are you planning on proceeding with this, Tracy?
Well, I think, like Vicki mentioned, it's going to be part of the full package. So you'll get to see the full package of ARPA funds, and we'll have more detail for the program at that time. But it was really critical. If we really want to be able to be staffed up and ready for the start of school, we need authorization to spend funds. And we know that that also comes with this need for a budget amendment. So that's kind of why we are here today and kind of how we set up this timing for now.
So, and what we would be looking for would be just kind of a head nod that, you know, there's consensus that you're on board with this process, and then we'll formalize it with the full council at a later date.
Okay, so I'm all for this. I'm just, this is, again, it's process, right? It's just all about the process. So we would be, in effect, pre-approving one of the items that's going to be in the package of proposed things that we could use ARPA funds on, which typically is not a good precedent, but this is something that is something that we standardly do. It's not a new thing. So for those reasons, I would say, yeah, let's do this time, because it's unusual and it's something that we don't want to do all the time. But there's all these reasons why it makes sense to do it now. And the main one being that this is like a bread and butter service that we've done for the community for so many years. So I'm in favor of it. I'm hoping we can kind of make it really standardized, and it can go through and the whole council can approve it and all that type of stuff too, as well.
We will definitely do that. If it wasn't for the fact that school starts in less than 2 months, and we do need to gear up by hiring staff, and unfortunately the hiring process is not something you do quickly. That's why we needed to bring this forward as fast as possible. But we will definitely loop in go back to the full council to formalize this process.
Yeah, so you've got my head nod on it then.
Sounds good. Thank you, Kathy. Cynthia, go ahead, please.
So I shared some of the same concerns that Kathy did in terms of process and how this looks, but I think this situation is justified in moving forward just because the time sensitivity and needing it, as well as the need in the community, you know, as a parent myself and trying to go back to work, I know a lot of employers are requiring their employees to now be in person. One of the huge barriers for parents is having childcare in order to go back to work, which is a big, huge barrier that this really fills. So I do believe that this is something that, regardless of the timing, is something that would be important to be supported through the COVID relief funds or the ARPA funds. So I support this. I'm okay with moving this forward differently than the normal process, but still within there, but giving the approval, given the time sensitivity of needing to hire people in order to be available by the time the school starts. So I'm in full support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. So just wanted to ask a question. So this is about 80,000, and okay. So does that also include the professional services?
Yes, because this, what we're looking at is, this is just funding through the fall.
Right.
And we need to, you know, we'll come back with this full year program as part of the bigger picture. We just needed to have the approval so we could move forward. And kind of to Cynthia's point, you know, we originally started talking about this as an after-school program, but our early bird program is important to some parents. That's, you know, some people get into work early and need a place for their kids, and some need the after-school care. So really trying to be full service for our community, to, you know, the best way we can, in a way that they're familiar with, and, you know.
So 40 to 50 slots, does that equate to number of kids, or just like, what? Help me understand that.
Yeah, it's really the number of kids. We, okay. Like this summer, we've been serving about 50 kids in Camp Tuck Willie. We wanted some flexibility because staffing, a lot of the staff we have, our new staff this summer that are working with us and are part of different school districts, so we really have to work hard. And this is a good program to recruit foster high school students into. It's a great after-school job or before-school job. We think we could serve in the traditional program 40 to 50, you know, 20 in early birds, which is kind of standard. And those are all Tukwila residents. And then in the a la carte programs, we could serve 15 to 20 more, depending on the program. And that's on a daily basis. So
how many are you planning to hire for this purpose, like at the end of the year?
Okay. So we need 10 people to fill these slots because they're not all going to work all the time. So we do need 10 bodies. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I have a question for Vicki. Last time when you came and we're talking about the ARPA funds, we made some commitments to certain areas that we're doing similarly to here. Didn't we do that?
So when we started talking about, it was a service level restoration conversation we started back, I believe it was in April, maybe March or April that we had the conversation. And we were really talking about three separate revenue sources. So as a reminder, there was the streamlined sales tax revenue, which came back to us for a few more years. There's the ARPA funds, which again, we initially thought we were going to receive $4.3 million, and we have received notification that we're going to receive $5.7 million. And then the third piece of that was when we drafted the budget for 2021-2022, we were still very much in the throes of the pandemic. And we didn't know when the pandemic was going to end. And so we adopted a very conservative budget with our revenue. And so the third approach of this is going to be as our revenues return to pre-pandemic levels at a sustainable, predictable level, then we would want to come back and talk about the use of those funds to restore additional service levels. So kind of three different approaches there. We did have a conversation on SST funds, the sales tax mitigation. And during that conversation, council gave authority to unfreeze positions in DCD to tackle the permit process, parks, from parks maintenance, because parks maintenance went up considerably during the pandemic, and then also street maintenance to deal with bus stops and just street overhaul. So those, and then there was a couple other miscellaneous things that were identified as well. I think when we come back to you to talk about the use of ARPA funds, we're going to be really talking about this in terms of all three of those because we want to take a holistic approach to how we restore these service levels. And we want to make sure that we're restoring service levels that give the greatest benefit to our communities in need. And so we want to have those outward-facing programs and then also make sure that what we're bringing forward is also sustainable. And this is just one step in that process. And again, we'd hope to bring the conversation back to this committee a little bit earlier, but again, we were waiting for final guidance from the federal government on exactly what we could use these funds for, because the last thing we want to do is authorize a program or a contract or whatever that can't be supported with ARPA funds. So we should be able to come back to you at the next finance committee with better guidance on that.
Okay, thank you. So in summary, I guess, this particularly the after school program would be the first in that we kind of give a nod as we proceed when it comes to the ARPA funds. Is that Are there made not like other, you know, commitments when it comes to ARPA funds?
Yeah, so based on previous conversations, that would be a correct statement. But given the restrictions that we now understand are in place with ARPA funds, we're going to be coming back with some suggestions to change it up just a little bit. Because again, the ARPA funds have some restrictions that the sales tax mitigation money doesn't have. And so we're going to be asking to take what you've authorized under the SSP and just move that under the ARPA umbrella. Because what you, the permitting, the streets, the parks, that all meets the ARPA requirements, and move that under ARPA, and then that'll free up the SSP money. So basically, you'll still have the same amount of money to work with and restore programs. It'll just be allocated a little bit differently.
All right. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you, Tracy. I am very supportive of you, hiring and getting this program going. So really appreciate what you're doing and your team. So please go ahead and hire those folks. When school starts, we have this program up and running. So thank you. So
thank you.
The three of all three of us just, said you can go ahead and do that. So just for the record.
And we will be bringing this to CSS next week, so as well, doing the same presentation.
Yeah. Two of us would be in that committee.
Oh, okay. Oh, deja vu.
So that should be easy. Okay. Thank you, Tracy. Have a good one. All right. So let's go to bringing my agenda items up again. An update on debt issuance for public workshops. Vicki, and this is a discussion only item.
Yes, correct. Thank you. So back in a couple months ago, April or May, we had a discussion on issuing debt to fund phase one of the public workshops project, which was $2.8 million. And working with our financial advisor, we also had the opportunity to refund two outstanding bond issues to try and save the city some money. We were successful in that process, and so I just want to close the loop and report back to you on how that came out. So again, we were successful with all three measures. We weren't sure we were going to actually be able to refund both of our outstanding debt, but we were. We did a private placement with Capital One Bank. We received four responses total, but they had the best overall. So when we issued the new debt for phase one, we came in very, very close to budget. Interest rate for that one is 1.7%, which is very close to what we predicted for our budget. It's about $314,000 each year, and I think we budgeted $310,000, so we were very, very close to budget on that one. The two issues that we were able to refund, we have a total net savings of about $97,000 between the two issues. One of the issues was going to be paid off in 2023, so it was a whopping $18,000 savings on that one, but hey, I'll take it. And the rest of the savings was on the other one. So again, good news on all three of them. Not a ton of savings, but our debt policy does tell us to look for savings where we can get it, and we were successful on both of those endeavors. So again, just wanted to close the loop on how we came out with those three issues.
Thank you, and thank you for your staff. Also, this is good. Any questions, Kathy?
I just want to say congratulations on your success and well done. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Let's move on to the last item, the monthly general fund update. Tony, take it away.
Thank you, Councilmember Solo. Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director, and I will be providing the general fund update. So this update is through May 2021, and the general fund expenditures came in at $23.5 million through the end of May, and this is a $1.5 million less than the allocated budget. Allocated budget was $25 million-ish. And so all general fund departments are tracking under budget with the exception of fire, And last month, Director Carlson added a summary of fire overtime to the memo that broke up the difference between reimbursable overtime and non-reimbursable overtime being charged to fire. And so we will continue to update that as time goes on. And then additionally, this month, we have added a running total for known budget amendments. And so that's in the memo also, and we will keep that going. When we look through that, fortunately, as of now, it looks like all but two of these budget amendments are revenue-backed or have no impact on the general fund. So that's our report for the month, and I'll take questions.
Thank you, Tony. Questions, Kathy, comments? Go ahead.
Yeah, so on page 29, the expenditures, it says, second paragraph, while all but one department are currently below the allocated budget, there's growing concern that department budgets in general are too low and may be unable to absorb necessary costs without a budget amendment.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, this may be a Vicky question, so where will, are we expecting revenues to exceed what we are expecting so that we cover that budget amendment, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, so I'll answer both of your questions there. So yes, we do have a growing concern about just department budgets in general. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, we did draft a very conservative budget. We gave departments only what they absolutely needed. So they don't have room to absorb any unknown costs that come up. And again, you know, as shown in the report, only fire right now is over budget, but this is also only through May. We have a summer to get through. So just want to kind of put that out there that, you know, we do have some concerns. So don't want there to be any surprises as we get, you know, further into the year. We're watching this very closely. And as we start to see other indicators, we will definitely bring them to your attention. Regarding the revenue side, yes, we actually are seeing some good news on that. Sales tax is starting to rebound. So I believe that when all is said and done, at the end of the year, we will be able to cover some, if not all of this with sales tax. I don't want to speak any specific numbers at this point because we've only seen sales tax start to exceed our budget the last, I think, 2 months, 3 months. And so a trend has definitely started. And so that's, we're on the good news for that. But I also do want to remain very cautious about this because, you know, there's news about the pandemic continuing. The lack of vaccinations throughout the country. There's talk in King County about bringing back mask wearing. So I just want to be very cautious about what the future may hold or may not hold regarding revenues. Right now it's good news, but we will continue to be cautious and just watch very closely what's going on both the expenditure side and the revenue side.
So I have one last comment about that. And so yes, it's like good news, bad news, sort of, hopefully good news. So as that sales tax comes back, we as a council and also as staff need to remember that that money is already spoken for. If the plan is to cover revenue shortfalls through the, this budget amendment. So just like when you get your income tax return at home and you're like, oh, we can spend it for this, or that, or the other thing. We need to remember, all of us, that right now we're looking at needing a budget amendment and covering it with that extra sales tax if it comes in. So we don't forget and say, well, we can use the sales tax excess revenue for something else. So that's my only comment.
Right. We definitely want to make sure we only spend it one time.
Yes.
Right on. Thanks for that point, Kathy. Cynthia?
I don't have any questions at this point. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. I don't have any questions. I think I also saw that you know, there is some concern that you mentioned when it comes to having enough space where departments feel that, you know, they may be underrun. So, the question I had is, in 2020, I remember, I don't know if it was you or someone showed me about how the county forecast was looking at that time. That was during the height of COVID. How often do the King County do a forecast how the economy should be looking at now? And what was the recent outlook or forecast they provided? Can you comment on that, or do you follow that?
I do follow it. I haven't seen the latest one that is out there. I was going to pull it up when we report back next month, because next month will be the full quarter report where we talk about all of our funds. So that is on my list to do, so to include on our next report out.
Okay.
And they do update regularly, so we'll definitely be looking at that for some guidance.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful for us to look at that. And to see what that looks like in our area, especially, Tukwila having the largest mall in the state, that would give us a really good indication what that looks like. So thank you. That is at the end of our agenda. As you know, we have a really robust committee and very efficient committees. Do you guys have any miscellaneous items? No? Okay. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'll see you guys tonight at the council meeting at 7 p.m.
Thank you. See you later.